Thank you for listening to the Inside Tailgating Podcast. Before we get started today, I want to let you know about the American Cornhole League. The American Cornhole League promotes and develops cornhole as part of a sport on every level. Get involved in local leagues and tournaments to qualify for the $50,000 Championship of Bags at Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort, July 21st through the 24th. College students can register now for the first ever College Cornhole Cup on April 23rd at UNC Wilmington. More information, check out iPlayCornhole.com. That's iPlayCornhole.com. Get in where you fit in and throw it down. All right, picture this. You're laying on your Chase Lounge in the sun. You're comfortable. It's peaceful. Completely relaxed. And it happens. Your cell phone rings. You grab your suit, lean up, reach under your chair where everything is stashed, and you start digging around for your phone, and suddenly you knocked over your drink you forgot was even under there. And then, suddenly, relaxing is not so relaxing. Well, say hello to Shade Pop, an 18-inch umbrella that attaches to the side of your table using magnets, keeping all of your essentials within arm's reach and out of the sun while you're in it. It's the ultimate in lounge-level shade. If you're tired of overheated cell phones, warm, ant-filled, sand-covered drinks, order yours today for only $24.99. Shade Pop is lightweight, compact, and fits nicely in your beach bag. Go to ShadePop.com right now, order up, and don't forget, shipping is free.
We're about to get it in. Barbecue, charcoal, biscuits, and ice. I got my lawn chairs ready. The weather is quite nice. We're about to tailgate Shade. I'm ready. Are you ready?
All right, we got Sydney Murray here, who we love having on, the Little Barmaid. It's always exciting when you're on, because we never know what the hell is going to come out of either one of our mouths. Sometimes I feel like you bring the craziness out of me, which is great. And I know that you had a birthday recently, and I could only imagine what you did for your birthday.
Well, let me just start by saying it's not difficult to bring the crazy out of you. I feel like it's just there, brimming at the surface, waiting for a moment.
That's true.
So I'm glad to be that catalyst for you. So I turned 29 and...
Liar.
How dare you, sir?
Oh, come on. Just tell the truth.
29 and a half.
Okay.
Okay. And I don't know. It was pretty uneventful other than the fact, like, you know, we went to dinner to this really great steak place where they actually do really badass cocktails, almost to the point where it's like, come on, just pour the drink already into my mouth. Like, they do like tableside service. It's called American Cut. I love this place. So, like, don't get me wrong. But they'll do like a smoked old fashioned where they light a block of wood on fire and then put the cup over the wood to get all of that fresh smoke, you know, up in the glass. And I'm like, you know, that's great, but is it really necessary to light a block of wood on fire next to my table? I don't know. It's just me. But that aside, that was a very just like, you know, my family. So very mellow, but I'm a huge fan of Flight of the Conchords. Are you familiar?
I feel like the name sounds familiar, but I'm not sure if I remember what that is.
So, Jemaine Clement and Brett McKenzie. This New Zealand band, they had an HBO show a couple of years ago. And they call themselves like the second best folk duo in New Zealand. They're just hilarious comedians who also happen to be talented musicians.
Now I know who you're talking about. It took a minute. Like, I knew the name was familiar, but now that you're saying all that, I sort of remember who they are.
Their humor is my humor. I think they're really polarizing. Like, all right, so I got this really awesome gift. There's this place that I'm obsessed with called the McKittrick Hotel, known for this interactive theater called performance called Sleep No More. It's been around for a couple of years now. Everyone has to wear a mask as part of the audience, and then they basically chase around the performers.
Okay.
You never heard of it?
No, this is all new to me.
Oh, it's so good. Again, a polarizing thing. You either love or hate it. I've been like 12 times. But in that hotel, they've built up a whole bunch of separate fun stuff. They've got a really great rooftop bar and a couple of like quaint dining areas with like live stages for live music. So I got tickets to see them perform in a really small space called The Heath. So we were sitting there and I was like touching their knees and it was amazing. And, you know, of course, did what I do, which is buy, you know, multiple bottles of alcohol for everyone. And it was, I'm convinced that Jermaine was giving me the eye the whole time. And I know he was a married man or is a married man.
He was willing to risk it all, though, it seemed.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
All right, then. Well, that's good. That doesn't sound bad at all for a birthday. I mean...
No, it was I had so much fun. But my story is this. So we go up. It's hilarious. First of all, I take my sweet mother. And we first dine outside before going in at this really cool, the outdoor place I was telling you about called Gallo Green. And it's like close quarters. I mean, it's really packed. And it's two of us at this like farm table, you know, like a long table. And this other group of people comes and sits down next to us. And it's basically like we have to become instant friends. Otherwise, you know, it's super awkward. So the one guy tells my mother that he's like the drummer for the band in such a manner that it's obvious he's, you know, just there. But the poor sweet woman completely buys it. Like, Mom, first of all, it's two dudes who play guitar. There is no drum kit. Secondly, the guy is out here like 5 minutes prior to the performance dining with us. I mean, just none of this adds up. Please believe me.
Right.
Not a member of the band. So we spent the next like several hours on into the next day arguing about the fact that this guy, even though we went and watched the performance, there was one guy who came out. He looked nothing like this guy and sat down and played a string instrument. And she was convinced that was the guy.
Well, maybe he was a drum tech. Maybe that was what it was.
A drum tech for what? There were no drums.
I don't know. I was just trying
to. Oh, my God. You and my mother. But then so I'm sitting here like feeling like, oh, it's so easy for little old ladies to get bamboozled. She's going to kill me. She's a young, gorgeous woman. But, you know, lives in Georgia. And you know that New York mentality is like something you have to acquire. Anyway. So then I'm at the bar getting a drink for everyone. And because we're sitting at a table, it's me and my mother and then this cute little couple who are getting married in London. And we started talking about it. And I was like, oh, let me buy you a drink. Anyway, so I'm waiting to get a drink. And this guy comes up and he starts giving me the whole, oh, I've got an open tab because I'm with the manager of the band.
Sweet and I'm like, opening line.
What?
I said, sweet opening line.
Yeah, I'm like, well, great. I mean, I tend to buy my own beverages, but if you're offering, sure. So we take a shot, and at the same time, I get a bottle of wine to bring to the table and pour for everyone. And at the end of the concert, which, you know, I can't tell you enough how it was so freaking funny. There's this one song about a seagull. Yeah, you gotta look it up. Just Google Flight of the Conchords seagull.
I feel like I've heard it before. Like, the more you talk about them, I feel like I have heard some of their stuff, but it's been, like, a while.
Well, I hadn't heard this one. I'm pretty sure this is a new one. But, yeah, they played some stuff that I recognized. But anyway, so the guy, we were sitting next to the table of the people who purported to be the management. And he leans over and he's like, that was so ballsy of you. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, you know, he told you that the, you know, tab was on him and you went and bought a bottle of wine. I was like he assumed that I got asked him to get me an entire bottle of wine and then proceeded to share it with, you know, my table. And I just felt like that was so typical of dudes. You know what I mean?
Trying too hard.
Well, that they would just assume that. I would never do that. Like, can I buy your drink? Sure, buy me the entire bottle.
Yeah, I that to me, you know, I have actually run into a couple girls in my day in the bar or, you know, in clubs in the VIP section, and a drink meant the bottle. And then I looked at these girls and I go, you have a bright future ahead of you, but it's not with me. And that's the end of that.
And they what with the bottle?
Well, they wanted the bottle. Like they did the opposite of what you would think. Like you said, I don't want the whole bottle. I just want, if you're going to buy me a drink, get me a drink. They're like, no, we legitimately want you to drop $400 on a complete stranger. And I'm like, no, thank you.
No, I mean, the appropriate thing is always this and only this. So if a random dude, or at least as a non-single person who has a modicum of respect, I don't even know if I were single at this point, I don't know. If a random dude offers to buy you a drink and you're not like, you take a shot with him and you get the hell out of Dodge.
Right.
Not a drink, not something you could sip on. Thanks for the shot. Bye. That's how you do it.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Good advice from the little barmaid. Or you decline entirely. But you would never, I don't know. I think this is all sort of to each their own, but I think it gives a bad name to a woman who would do that, and I'm glad you sent them packing.
I'm not trying to sound like I'm awesome or anything, but I don't think I'm necessarily...
Every time you say that, it sounds like you're trying to sound like it.
I know. I don't know how to properly, like, put yourself over without sounding like an asshole, is what I'm trying to say. It's like, I don't feel like if I meet a girl in the bar, you know, I'm desperate to the point that I need to go and spend, like, hundreds of dollars on a stranger because this might be my like, only shot. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like I always look at the guys that go to the bars, and I'll go out with friends like that who make triple the money I do. And, you know,
I would hope even without your badass job, Ryan, that you would still have enough, you know, self-respect.
Yeah, that was one good thing that I never really lacked. And I guess my mother, that was put into me, like, don't you be one of these dumbass guys that go out to bars and spend all your money on girls who are obviously just trying to take advantage of a situation. And I am happy to say that I have
those for dudes. I mean,
oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
I know people think it's very more common on, you know, with the chicks, but I, you know, it goes both ways.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I mean. It's like, I never liked, you could tell instantly if a girl would come up to you, if you're a guy or vice versa, on whether or not they're genuinely interested in you as a person and want to get to, like, just talk to you and know you, or if they're looking at you as the ticket for free drinks. And I guess my point is I've had a pretty good sense as to if a girl comes up to me, whether or not she actually wants to get to know me or if she is just trying to use me for drinks. And I'm, you know, confident enough that I feel like I can tell this girl, no, thank you, try somebody else. And I think some guys don't do that all the time. And I've seen some of my friends spend, like, a ton of money on a girl. And I'm sitting there going, like, hey, buddy, she's keeps taking all those drinks to, like, four guys.
Yes. I remember those days.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't think this is your future here, pal. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah, the telltale sign is if they show up at the table with, like, more than one empty glass.
Yeah, right? That's the best. I remember, you know, I think some guys get afraid to literally just tell girls in a bar or club, especially in that setting, no, or just kind of, like, flat out be like, yeah, you got to be kidding me. And I think that goes for, you know, guys trying to do the same to girls.
Nice and polite should never be, you know, in a club at all. It's too much for a person like that.
Yeah, absolutely. If you can't see what's going on in front of you and figure that out, that's probably not the environment for you. So I agree.
All right. Anyway, I don't know if the guy was the manager, and I'm pretty sure the guy wasn't the drummer, but Flight of the Conchords are awesome. And I can buy my own wine because I'm an independent woman.
Now you have to sing the song. Isn't there a song? I-N-D-E. I can't spell.
I don't know. It was
She's
from
got
like
her two- own house. She's got her all that stuff. Who sang that? I have no idea.
Seriously?
I don't know. I listen to metal. I don't know who sang that.
Yee.
Who?
Beyonce.
Really? I thought it was a... Yeah, I guess so. I told you, I listen to metal. I can tell you, you know, about the concerts I'm going to that don't sing that song at all. But no, I have no idea who sings, like, pop music. I really don't. Like, people look at me like I'm completely crazy because of that.
Well, you don't...
What?
All right, tell me, you can't name a single Beyonce song?
Naughty Girl?
Naughty Girl?
Is that real old?
I'm pretty sure that's Christina Aguilera.
Is it?
Naughty Girl.
Look it up.
I'm not familiar with that one.
I'm throwing the challenge flag on this one. Hold on. Okay. I'm looking right now. I don't even care. Because I got to get one, right?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, it's her. It's her. Beyonce, Naughty Girl. It came out in 2006.
How does it go? Hold on.
I'm not singing it to you. You can look it up. You see, and now you're throwing it on me. And
I know. I'm sorry.
And it backfired.
You're totally right. I don't
know. That's kids. Sour. Sweet.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Come on.
Feeling sexy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. See, I know a Beyonce song.
There you go. All right. Good.
But, again, I'll hear songs every day because where I work, we got a lot of different stations that play a lot of things. And I'll walk down the hall and they usually have the top 40 station on and I have no idea what anything is.
That's okay.
But
you don't know.
I listen to
other things.
Yeah. I mean, I just listen to a lot of bands they don't play on the radio is the problem.
So you have to go out of your way then, huh? That must be a pain in the butt.
Nah, I kind of cheat, and I got satellite radio, and they have a metal channel that plays every band that we don't play on terrestrial radio, so that's kind of how I go about that.
That just made me sound really old. Like, I'm sure it's very easy for you to listen to the music you want to listen
to.
Yeah,
I mean, we're not at the thrash days of the 80s where everybody was sharing bootlegged cassette tapes, but, you know, we're a little past that. I got satellite, I got... That works. That's actually the best. So that's kind of how I listen to a lot of the bands I want without having to carry a library of music around. So it works out.
You have to tell me how you got into heavy metal because I know nothing. I don't know a whole lot about the genre. And so all of my opinions are based on stereotypes.
Most of them are true for the most part, except maybe me.
Exactly. But, you just don't strike me as the...
I'll tell you, it was very simple. When I was in middle school, and it was all of my friends were listening to, like, I guess that would have been when it wasn't P. Diddy, it was Puff Daddy and Mace and, you know, when all the rap groups were coming out. And
oh, I loved Mace.
Yeah, Mace, Jay-Z, when they all right when they all came out in the, what would that have been, mid-90s, something like that.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, and all my friends listened to that stuff, and it was fine. And I went out and I actually would buy, you know, like Bone Thugs and Harmony and stuff like that because I thought, well, that's what all my friends listened to, and I wanted to be cool like my friends, I guess. And so I had all that stuff, and I'd listen to it, and I'd listen to it in my house, like on my CD player in my bedroom. And I'm just like, this, I don't know. I just really didn't get anything out of it. Like, I never found myself singing along. I never found myself really getting into it. So I kind of just was like, I don't know, maybe this isn't for me. And then there was a kid who was I was probably 13 or 14. And there was a neighbor that lived a few houses down from the house I was growing up in. Mm-hmm. And he had to have been like 25 or 26. So... I knew who he was. Like, I wasn't obviously best friends with somebody who was like a decade older than me, but I went by one time and he was listening to Marilyn Manson from 1996, which would have been Antichrist Superstar. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking by and the song I think was, I want to say it was Irresponsible Hate Anthem. So it was the first track on the album. So he must have just put it in.
So, right, yeah, the first track on the album. I could have told you that.
Yeah, of course. I think, yeah, this is just, you're just letting me have my moment. I understand. And he's playing it, and I walk by the garage, and his name was Kevin, and I was like, hey, what's that? And he's like, this is Marilyn Manson. I was like, oh, holy crap, isn't it? Because everything in that time frame, Manson was the devil, and his concerts were getting protested. And I was always, like, the kind of contrarian as it was. So I stood there for a little bit with him and a couple friends he had, and they were just listening to the album. And he was a big metal fan. And all of a sudden, I realized I love this shit. And it was like every emotion I couldn't get out of what I was previously listening to, I was getting and then some from this genre of music. So I went out and...
Before or after he offered you a hit of meth?
That was clearly after meth. I mean, you can't not have meth in your system when you listen to that stuff.
Okay.
So after we got high on meth, we're listening to it, and I just thought to myself, holy crap, this stuff's for me. And then I wanted all of it. I went out, and Marilyn Manson actually is like my favorite band. I mean, you wouldn't know it by looking at me, because the stereotype is that everybody who listens to that kind of music is, you know, tearing up Bibles and wearing paint and has dark clothes on, even if it's 95 out. And I'm here to disprove that you can, like, you know, wear a t-shirt and jeans and go to work and not be crazy if you listen to that stuff. So then next thing you know, I'm out buying Slayer and Pantera and all, and the heavier the better. And it was just like, that's for me. And then that's, so we've been doing that for, you know, since I was about 13 or 14, and I'm 33 now, and there doesn't seem to be any end in sight with it.
Are they still coming out? I mean, I feel like the heyday of that genre was back then in the mid-90s. Are they still coming out with a lot of new stuff?
I will say this, that from the mid-90s until the early 2000s, there was a big wave of like new popular rock, like Papa Roach and Manson got real big, Rob Zombie, White Zombie, Disturbed, the Deftones got real big, and a lot of these bands, like Korn or Limp Bizkit, who I never liked, but they, you know, there was a big peak for that, and then it seemed like around the early...
As the contrarian you were, or are, you should have loved Limp Bizkit.
No, it was too... it wasn't... There's nothing against them. I mean, they...
Everyone hated Fred Durst, right? Because he was such a toolbox.
Yeah, he was not very liked. I didn't really care. Like, I just, their music just wasn't really for me necessarily. And I guess now it's kind of bad because there hasn't been that big second wave of new rock bands to kind of fill the void of how big those bands were. Like, those bands, like, all still tour, you know, this summer. Like, Rob Zombie and Korn are playing together, and they're playing at, you know, big amphitheaters. Marilyn Manson and Slipknot are touring together this summer, which I will lose my freaking mind to. I'm just going to go embarrass myself there. You know, you have Rock on the Range. You have the one they have in California. Like, there's still a huge hard rock metal fan base out there. It just...
So if you're tailgating at a Manson concert, do you bring... like some sort of iron, or not iron, like cast iron chalice with you to drink out of?
No, you just drink out of a can of Miller Lite. I'm sorry to ruin the image for you, but it's kind of like a... I always wanted to, and I've been trying to, and I screwed up because I didn't get to go to Rock on the Range this year, which I've never missed until this year. And I
was, no! Yeah, Rock on the Range!
Yeah, it was bad. That's like my vacation. That's like 3 days of just hard rock metal, and I just... it didn't work this year, and my plans fell. It was bad. That's a whole different bag of crap right there. But anyway, to tailgate at a metal festival is awesome. Awesome. and you know what? You're probably thinking everybody's a jerk or weird, and they're not. It's like, yeah.
I would be a real asshole if that's what I thought.
Well, you thought I did meth before Manson, and...
Are you calling me an asshole, Ryan?
No, if I am, you're my favorite one. How about that?
Perfect.
There you go. But no, it's like the most fun you could ever have at a tailgate, because... The one cool thing that I do love about the metal genre and the fan base, and if you're a metalhead, is that it is the least judgmental group of people you could ever be around in a million years. Like, you can come dressed up in face paint, looking like Slipknot or a WWF wrestler from the 80s, and everybody will look at you like they look at somebody who came in a t-shirt from, like, Banana Republic. It's awesome. And there's...
Have you ever been to, or is this different? Have you ever been to the, is it only Insane Clown Posse, or is this an entire genre where you go and you paint your face like a weird clown?
No, that's just ICP. They do that Juggalo thing. I don't partake in that. Nothing against that. It's great. They have a lot of fans, but I just don't like their style of music, so I wouldn't have be much of a part of that.
All right.
So there you go. There's my history in metal. And
just to be clear, though, you've never painted your face like a clown and gone to a concert.
Have I? I've never actually painted my face. My one friend, once in a while, if it's a big show and it's almost like a real big event, he's a makeup artist. He's done makeup for, like, zombie movies and stuff like that. Like,
oh, awesome.
Yeah, so he does professional, like, you know, special effects makeup. So once in a while, if it's like a really big show, I know last year we went to go see, it was Slipknot and I think maybe Avenged Sevenfold. I'm trying to remember the show, but he did break out. He did like the Walking Dead routine, and it was pretty cool. But I don't do that because
that's a whole other ballgame.
Yeah, he's not some guy with just too much eyeliner. He legitimately does that stuff.
Good times.
Yeah, so it's fun. You should check one out. I know they got big festivals up there around New York and Buffalo and stuff like that. You should get yourself to a metal show.
You know, it took me so long. I guess I am one of these people who, I mean, hey, no surprise to you, really judgmental at the onset.
I love that you admit it, though. That's great.
But then once I allow myself to experience it, I get into it. I get into most things. I used to really rail against the whole Dave Matthews, let's go stand in a cornfield. And I know that's not really cornfield, but
I get what you mean. Yeah.
You know, and smoke a bowl and like make our arms all wavy and dance around in circles. But now I've been like so many times and I love him and it's a blast. It's not to say that there are like one or two Marilyn Manson songs that I like, but I can't see myself. I'm sure I'd have a good time, but I can't see myself actually getting into the music.
You know what, though? It creates such energy. And even if you don't know the songs and you're not sure if you would like the genre or how it would sound, there's just so much energy that the bands put out and the fans give back that it would probably be, you know, sort of like the Dave Matthews Experience, except times 10, because instead of, like you said, it's all kumbaya, it's just a lot of jumping and headbanging and release. I think you would actually really enjoy it. I'll have to look at the calendar, see what shows are coming around your area, and maybe send you a list and be like, hey, if you're, you know, you don't got plans this night, maybe you should go check out this show. See what, you know, see what's up.
Maybe I will.
A band that I think you would like, that you should check out, honestly, that you might get a kick out of, is Ghost.
The movie, I love it.
It's,
the pottery scene is so sexy.
It's not quite that, but there's something else. So maybe check them out. Go see one of their shows. So,
Ghostface Killa?
Huh?
Ghostface Killa? Killa?
No, I don't know anything about them. But they kind of dress the same because they both paint their faces. So that's good.
Anyway, this is okay. It's weird how. Never mind.
What?
Nothing.
Oh, you have to say it now.
I was gonna like say some existential bull crap. I don't even feel the need to. No.
All right. Well, real quick, before we let you go, because once again, we've started somewhere and ended somewhere else, and that's great. That's what I love. You said for the tailgating season, there's a hotel or something opening up that has a pretty cool atmosphere for that.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm a journalist. I write mainly about booze, which is why I find myself on this lovely podcast. and I recently wrote a story about these really awesome bartenders at this new hotel in New Orleans. I don't know if I'm saying it appropriately. It's called Catahoula. And then the bartenders are Jonathan Schock and Basil Zerinsky. Anyway, so yesterday was the first day of summer, and there's nothing like you know, drinking outside and in nice weather. And they have what I think, you know, I do a lot of like, oh, tell me about this cocktail you came up with. And some of them are phenomenal and others not. And this to me is like the best of so many worlds. It's called, there's two. One is like a milkshake concoction. And I am a super fan of eating your calories, especially if you get a buzz from it. Like that used to be my mantra. Like you can't eat a cheeseburger, but if you want to drink, you know, a booze filled milkshake, go for it. It's not going to make you fat because it's liquid.
Right.
If you're not chewing, you're not going to get fat.
I agree.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Thank you. the one that's really cool is it's called The Coolest Kid in Class, and it comes in a juice bag. You know, like you remember Capri Suns as a kid?
Oh, I still drink them. What do you mean as a kid? I got like 50 in my fridge.
Oh my God, you're gonna get diabetes.
Damn it.
They're so sugary, but I used to love them. Especially, but anyway, so it comes like you would remember your mother packing you a lunch with it's prepackaged in the juice bag, and it comes with a little note from mom and a little bag of goldfish. And that is so cute summer to me. It's like, oh, I was young and innocent once, and look at me now. I'm drinking my face off at a bar reminiscing about how I was young and innocent. I don't know.
Sounds good, though.
Yeah, I mean, all the ingredients are amazing. You know, it's not just the packaging. It's pisco, manzanilla sherry, apple juice, honey syrup, yellow chartreuse. Maybe, like, if I ever become a mom, I'll just switch that out and give that to my kids for lunch.
Yeah, I think your kids will appreciate it, and I'm sure the school system will as well. Well, I think we should end on a high note there because, once again, we ran long, and that's okay because I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the note we should end on, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Sydney, for joining me once again. I'm glad you had a fun birthday with people lying to you about if they were in the band or not to your mother. And I'm glad we could discuss why you should listen to heavy metal. And I hope the place you were telling us about with the... I want to make a little care package like that.
Right? Isn't that such a cute idea?
It is. So we'll talk to you next time because you're my favorite guest because I never know what's going to come out of your mouth. So it's great.
You're my favorite host.
Thank you because I'm the only one you got. So you have to love me.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Do you like to play cornhole? Would you like to play for big money? How does $50,000 sound? The opportunity to play cornhole for big money has arrived. The $50,000 Championships of Bags is at Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort, July 21st through the 24th. There are cash tournaments for all players and all skill levels for as little as $5. I am your host, Ryan Alessio from the American Cornhole League. I will be bringing you the hottest cornhole action live on ESPN3 starting July 22nd at 7 p.m. Come as an individual, come with a partner, or come with a crew. Watch in person for free or live on ESPN3. Anyone can play, anyone can win. Visit iPlayCornhole.com for broadcast and registration information.